Happy Sunday, everybody. It's good to see all of you. I'm glad you came back. And we're excited. I don't know if anybody has talked about this, but on January 19th, which is next Sunday night, you do not want to miss the next Soaking Prophetic Night. That's next Sunday night at 7 o'clock right here. And man, the Lord has really been putting stuff in my spirit about that night. And we're definitely going to create a fire tunnel. So we'll have fire tunnel ministry. I really believe words of knowledge are going to come forth powerfully that night. And healing ministry. And so that's going to be awesome. That's next Sunday night. So don't miss it. And bring somebody with you. These are powerful times. Then on February 16th, and I ask how many of you would be willing to either drive a bus or drive directly to Akron. It's about 30 or 40 minutes from here south on 77 to Akron Bethel. And Steve Witt pastors there. It's one of their locations. We want to invade that church at 6 o'clock at night. So we'll meet here at 5, and if you'll sign up, I'll know how many buses to get, or you can just carpool down. But here's our goal. Have you ever been in an above-ground swimming pool and got on the outer edge and started walking around the outer edge? Did you ever do that and create what they call a whirlpool? That's a lot of fun. If you get enough people to do it and you move fast enough, the whirlpool will be so intense that eventually you can stop walking and just float in the current. It'll take you right around the pool. Here's what we're sensing. It's time for a move of God in Northeastern Ohio. And if we'll just get in the pool and start walking, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to stir some stuff up around this region. And we're going to go down to Akron. Then we're going to come up to Valley View. Then we're going to go over to Lorain. And then we'll go to Middleburg Heights. And then we'll go to Valley View and Lorain, Middleburg Heights, Valley View, Lorain, Middleburg Heights, Valley View, Lorain. And before you know it, this whole thing is going to start moving by the Spirit. And then we're going to see the tremendous current of God take place. So if you would think with me just that night, put everything else aside and say, you know what? I'm going to be there. I'm going to go. I'd love for about 1,000 of us to show up. Now, they couldn't see 1,000. But I'd love for us to pack that place out. And the minute we get off the bus and walk in that church, all we're doing is lifting our hands and worshiping God, joining with that other church. We don't even know them, but that's okay. And we'll just worship the Holy Ghost, let the Spirit of God move. So I know how many buses to get. You need to sign up today because we have to reserve these. How many of you think you'd love to go that night? Can I see your hand? Okay. Oh, cool. That's at least 3 buses. And we've got at least 1 bus coming from Lorain. I'm hoping for 2. So that would be like 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40. That'd be 200 of us. That'd be awesome, huh? Yeah, so we're getting close to the goal of 1,000. So that's coming up on February 16th. And then this is one of the last Sundays we could tell you about it. Sozo training. Sozo is a Greek word. It means deliverance, healing, wholeness. And I really believe that everybody needs to go to this training. If you haven't signed up, there's still room. We've got plenty of space. The cost is $35, and we'd love for you to be there. January 25th, right here. We're going to do it at the Valley location. So all the folks from Lorain are having to drive. All you got to do is just come on over. 9 o'clock in the morning till 5, and that includes your lunch for the $35. It includes also your manual and the teaching. And this teaching is helping you to understand the Father's love, how to relate to the Holy Spirit, and how to reconcile in relationships that are hindering your advancement in the kingdom of God. And then we're going to take that same ministry and release it in our soaking nights, release it around the altars. Everybody's going to flow in it. It's the D of your PH, okay? So you get your prophecy degree, your deliverance, your healing degree, and your deliverance degree. So it's a PhD. This is the D of the PhD, okay? January 25th. So if you want to get in on it, you got to call right away. All right, open up your Bible. I'm going to share with you just for a few minutes. Tina and I are excited to be here. We take an annual vacation around Christmas time, and we usually go away for 3 weeks, but I can never stay away 3 Sundays. Ever since I've been doing it, I'm like, this year, I'm staying 3 Sundays. I get on vacation, I'm like, I got to go back. So Friday we hopped a plane and we fly free. Don't hate me for that, but we fly free. So I just jumped on a plane. We came home. And as soon as this service is over, I'm getting back on a plane. I'm going back to my 5 days of vacation. I got 5 days left. Yeah, so anyway. But it's great to be with you this morning. And we pray that today God's blessing be upon your life in every capacity. Amen. John chapter 1. It's a great story. John chapter 1. It is the story of the encounter that Jesus has with Philip and Nathanael. Great, great story. The narrative begins with John telling the disciples to stop following him and behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He was shifting their focus from one thing to another thing. Let me just speak a word of prophetic utterance to you. God is speaking right now for you and me to shift our focus from what we've been looking at, what we've been attracted to, what we've been following, to Jesus and Him alone. And when they did that, Jesus turned to them and He said this in verse 38. It said, Jesus turned and as He saw them following Him, watch this, He said to them, what are you looking for? What is it that you wish? What do you want? Now, when you ask that question, right away in my mind, I'm thinking people are going to say, well, I need a new house. I need a husband. I need a man. I need a woman. I need some civility in my home. I need peace. I need a new job. God, if Jesus were to ask me, what do I want? I'd come up with something, right? But notice what they said. Now, this narrative has a lot of questions in it. So you want to take a good look at why does the Holy Spirit ask so many questions in this story? He's asking, what do you want? And they ask him in response, where do you stay? In essence, they were responding to his question by saying, all we want is to dwell where you dwell. I want to know where you stay so that I can move from where I've been and camp out with you. And I really believe that we are in this prophetic shift in the body of Christ where we are just hungering to be in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can I get an amen? Woo, I feel it. On December 2nd, I invited all of you to get into an intimate place with Jesus. Remember, we talked about John 11 and 35 and how Jesus wept. And I said it wasn't Jesus' weeping over the fact that Lazarus was dead. No, he knew he was going to raise him. It was because Mary, who asked the very same question that Martha did, Lord, had you been here, my brother would not have died. Martha gets a philosophical doctrinal discourse and Mary gets manifestation of prophetic intent of Jesus in his ministry. Powerful. Both said the same thing, got two different responses. Why? Because Mary bowed at his feet where she is very comfortable at. And she began to worship him. And it so moved Jesus, he began to weep. Jesus wept, not because of Lazarus. Jesus wept because Mary's intimacy level was so deep that it moved the heart of God. And I challenged all of us December 2nd. I said, take the next 30 days and get into an intimate place with Jesus and make him weep at the intimate pursuit of your heart after the living God. You know, when I said that, I thought, I got to do that too. I've got to do that too. So on December 2nd, I started evaluating. I asked the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, where do I need to disconnect from? You see, intimacy is a connection. And if you're going to make a quality connection, there might have to be some disconnections that have to take place. And so I began to disconnect from things that had a regular input in my life, whether it's the daily news or opinions or sports or whatever else. And I'm not telling you what to do, but I knew what God was speaking to me. And I began on that 2nd of December, and I found something that started to take place in my life. I was being drawn closer and closer to Him than a place that I've never known Him before. And every time I got there, all I could do was cry. I'm like this weeping marshmallow. I was crying so much. We were watching a Hallmark movie over Christmas, and I cried over that. I'm like, God, I'm turning into a weird person. You know, God asked Adam a question. And the first question Jesus asks is, what do you want? What did Adam hear from the mouth of God after the fall? He said, where are you? And folks, let me tell you something. That question, where are you, was not because God couldn't find Adam. It was to help Adam adjust, to get in proper position and alignment so that he could discover what he really wanted. Because he was confused based on sin and the carnality of the influence of the age, what he thought was the stairway to heaven. Play my song softly behind me, if you will. Now, this is for all the old rockers out there. Back in 1971, Jimmy Page, Stairway to Heaven. How do you all know that song? I thought you all sanctified. It starts out kind of mellow. Go ahead and play it there. It starts out kind of mellow, and it's one of the classics. And the lyrics are interesting. The title of the song is called Stairway to Heaven. And really, when you come from the perspective of no relationship with the King, it's really all you know to pursue. And unfortunately, many in the church are trying to use the same escalator to achievement and fulfillment.
There's a lady.
Turn it up.
Who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven.
She figures that the glitters,
when she gets,
if the
there,
world wants it,
if the stars,
if it has value placed on it by humanity,
she can get,
then it must be the stairway to heaven. If it's something that makes me feel good, if I can collect it in mass, if it's on sale, it will fulfill me. And it is my stairway to heaven. Now, I don't want to play all that song for you. You can take it down, but I want you to understand something. The mentality of so many in the world, and also, unfortunately, in the church, we have looked for a stairway into a fake heaven. Fake heaven. How many have ever heard the statement, all that glitters is not necessarily gold? Right. You see, today, we have to ask ourselves the question, where are you? Because Adam and Eve had fallen out of intimate relationship with Jesus. And God wanted them to identify their position in life. Much like today, the Holy Spirit is speaking to the body of Christ, asking us where we are in position to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then he's going to ask us what we want. But our answer to what we want is in correlation to where we are. Because where we are will answer the question, what do we want? Because if we're not in the place of purpose and destiny on the earth, following the prophetic unction of God's revealings in this hour, what we want is a stairway to heaven that's fake. We want our bodies healed. Nothing wrong with healing. We want our money in the bank. Nothing wrong with prosperity. But we want a happy home. We want cars and boats and RVs. And we want to be blessed. And God, can you just help me with this? Oftentimes, what we want is a disclosure of where we are. But if you have found the place revealed in this text, what you want gets adjusted. It changes. And it's no longer a fake pathway to some utopia or euphoric experience or an encounter with God, but it becomes a lifestyle of connection prophetically where God begins to infuse in you your purpose and your destiny on the earth, and it changes an entire generation. Where are you? Where am I this morning? And what do I seek, Father? What do I want? I like the prophet Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, however you want to say it. Chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18 in the Amplified Bible. It reads this way. We used to sing this song, though the fig tree does not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vine, and the product of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, and though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in my victorious God, my salvation. The prophet understood something that we're coming into understanding of. As long as I'm in the right place, it doesn't matter how much stuff I have. He said, look, the fig tree right now, it's not blossoming. The olive field is not meeting the expectations of my heart. Some of us have come to church this morning and we thought God would do something by now. God would change our circumstance, or somehow something would happen. We'd find that ticket, Chris, on the floorboard of the bus. And thanks be to God, He shows Himself strong. But there are other times when we don't find provision. And if we're not careful, it'll jerk us right out of our position. And we'll begin to depend on ourselves, our manipulative ways, our ingenious thinking to somehow come up with a plan to make up for what God didn't do. But the prophet said, yet will I rejoice in my victorious God, because He is on the throne and I am in the right place, and I know that He is going to bless me. You see, the prophet recognized the time that he was in when was a season when things were going, but he knew his God hadn't gone. I know my God is with me. He said He'll never leave me and He'll never forsake me. You know, sometimes our losses and our crosses in life steal away our joy. Have you ever experienced loss? Have you ever had to carry a cross and suddenly you're thinking, God, why me? What's going on? And how the enemy uses those experiences to steal away, to somehow evaporate, to somehow carry away the joy of the Lord, which is our very strength. This prophet knew better. He wasn't giving into it this time. He was going to stay in the presence of the living God because he knew that his God was faithful. How many know that God is faithful? Come on, lift up your hand and tell Him, God, you're faithful. Tell Him, God, you're faithful. I will never leave you and you will never leave me. Hallelujah. You're a faithful God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love this particular story in John 1 and verse 18 because Jesus reveals something in the middle of all this questioning. He discloses to the reader the connection between heaven and earth. Now, I don't want you to misinterpret what I'm about to say, because some of you will initially, but you'll come around. He reveals the connection between heaven and earth, and it's not your prayers or your worship. Jesus reveals the connection between heaven and earth. He said, you shall see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In other words, the open heaven, I'm the ladder. I'm the connection between heaven and between earth. The stairway that you're looking for is not in materialism. It's not even in your church identity, your dogma, or your doctrine, or your prayer, or your worship, or your recital of scripture. It's in me. And he makes that plain to his disciples. Wow. Wow. Beginning of the chapter, Philip comes and he meets the Messiah, chapter 1. Like, wow, man, I just met the Messiah. I am convinced this is Jesus, the one we've been praying for and hoping for. So he goes off and gets his friend, Nathanael. Now, no doubt, Nathanael and Philip talked a lot. They spent many hours in a particular place, talking and dialoguing about the Messiah and what he would do and his kingdom coming to earth. No doubt. Because the Bible tells us that Nathanael was sitting under a fig tree. Now, that's not a mistake or an error in your Bible. A fig tree is significant because it always speaks of purpose and destiny. Would you say that with me? Purpose. One more time. It also tells us that when you see the fig tree blossoming, and we know that the end time is coming, the fig tree prophetically has been identified as even Israel, blossoming, becoming a nation in 1948. But apart from that, we see Nathanael specifically identified as being in a certain place under a fig tree. Now, before I get to that, let me just say this about Philip. Philip is from Bethsaida. I like that. That gives me hope. Because that particular city was known for its wickedness. That particular city was known for its unrepentant attitude towards God. That particular city was known that its perversion was even worse than Sodom. Whew! Glory to God. And God called Philip, who was from wicked, unrepentant perversion. And if God can call Philip out of that stuff, hallelujah, God can call you out of that stuff, God can call me out of that stuff, and you will become instantly qualified to follow the Master. Woo, thank you, Jesus. So en route, he goes to Nathanael and he tells him, I think we found the Messiah, the one we've always talked about. No doubt they've dialogued many, many times underneath that fig tree. And Nathanael said, I don't know. How do you know? Well, he's from Jesus of Nazareth. He goes, well, Nazareth? What good thing can come out of Nazareth? I mean, he can't be the prophet. How can he come out of Nazareth? The Bible says that nobody's coming out of Nazareth. But they didn't understand that he was born in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. But nonetheless, Nathanael comes and he's going to meet the Messiah. He's going to meet Jesus. He wants to check him out for himself. And I love what Philip said to him. Come and see. I want to say to every one of you, these soaking prophetic nights, this adjustment, this shifting in your life, this pursuit of the Master, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, come and see. Come and see. You say, well, I don't know. Is it worth getting on a bus and driving on? Come on, jump in the pool. Let's make a whirl. Let's make a whirlpool. Let's make a whirl. What do you call them? Whirlpool. That's what they call them. Let's make one together. Let's make some shifting in the spirit. Because if there's one of us doing it, it's much difficult. But if there's two of us doing it, it gets a little easier. But you put 10 or 12 of us in there and we're all moving in the same direction at the same time. This thing's going to accelerate and speed up. Come and see. Come on, tap somebody and say, come and see. Tap them back and say, you come and see. Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming, the Bible says in verse 42. He says, well, I see him coming. I see him coming. Can I tell you, Jesus sees you coming? Some of you are making some adjustments at home. A little less TV and a little more Jesus. Huh? Come on, a little less all about you and it's all about Jesus. You're making some adjustments. He's seeing you coming from afar. He goes, oh, there he is. Oh, there she is. I see her coming. She has no idea what I'm about to do in her life. He has no idea what I'm about to do in his life. You just need to come and see. Come on, tell me one more time. Come and see, preacher. Come on, come and see, preacher. Oh, glory to God. Don't make me preach up here. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said concerning him, see, here's an Israelite indeed, in whom there's no guile, no deceit, no falsehood, nor duplicity or hypocrisy. Nathanael said to Jesus, how do you know me? He said, well, Jesus knows everybody. That's true. But he knows some more intimately than others. And Nathanael said, how you know me? And Jesus said, son, I saw you. Woo-hoo! When I got this revelation, I had to jump and run and shout right there in my living room. I saw you beneath the fig tree. He didn't say up in the fig tree. He didn't say next to the fig tree. He said beneath the fig tree. And if the fig tree represents what? Purpose and... So God saw Nathanael. Saw Nathanael where? Under what? His purpose and destiny. Under. Everybody say under.
Under.
That means beneath. Come on, say beneath.
Beneath.
That means submitted. Say submitted.
Submitted.
To his purpose.
His purpose.
And his destiny. Your purpose and my purpose on the earth, your destiny and my destiny on the earth, is not that we would have a ragtag, no joy experience with a faithless effort to somehow tell people about heaven. No, our purpose, our destiny on the earth is to bring heaven into earth and watch the kingdom of God manifest through our lives. And when you and I get under, come on, say get under. When you and I get under the purpose and destiny of God, Jesus gets his eyes on you. He's like, oh, Louis up underneath that fig tree. Oh, what am I going to do now? He's positioned himself in submission to his purpose and his destiny in the earth. Nathanael's blown away by now. He's like, what? He's like really overcome because Jesus said, I saw you. I want to invite you, friends, to come and see. I want to invite you, friends, to submit yourself unto the purpose and destiny of God for this generation in this hour. On December 2nd, when I started disconnecting and connecting more intimately and began to worship, I was like freaking out. I was like, oh God, everything's making me cry. I get close to your presence and I'm like undone. But I like it. I want to stay here. So I find myself hour after hour after hour. And I said, God, we got to reach a generation. We've got to reach a generation. And he said, I'm reaching a generation. I said, you are? And if you can get that website up for me, IHOPKC.org. I just want you to know, and many of you know this, and I'm not trying to expose something to you. I'm just trying to show something to you and illustrate something to you. Because when I look at my church, I think, God, where are the 20-somethings in the church? And this particular group has been praying and singing and worshiping for 12 years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so I knew of them, and I've been there before, but I haven't tapped into it. So I started tapping into it and worshiping and praying and coming in agreement for hour upon hour during the day over these last 45 days or whatever it was. And I'm finding something out. I'm looking at the kids. Can you get the actual picture up of it? I want you to see who's leading this. Now hit the, there you go. Now tap it and make it big. At least on my Mac, you just go, and it goes. Can you make it bigger? And then give me some sound. Maybe. Nonetheless, you'll notice that there are at least... Oh, that's me. That's me. Oh, they got it. Okay. That was not a young guy. That was an old guy. Are we going to get it? What do you think? Working on it. Just interrupt me when you get it. Okay? But I noticed something that these singers and players and prophesying and reading the scripture were all kids. 18 to 28 years old is the average age. I'm like, God, wait. Well, ho. How does this happen? And he said, I'm raising up a generation. I'm raising up a generation because there is a people who are getting up under their purpose and destiny, who are understanding the call of God of heaven to earth. And it's drawing a generation into the reality of God's presence in this hour because they're done with church. But all they want, the mighty glory and the mighty presence of a living God. Amen? Yes, they do. They want miracles. They want signs. They want wonders. They want the power of God to be manifest. So I'm watching them and I'm yelling, Tina, come, Tina, look at this. Tina, look, Tina, look. Look, they're just kids. And I'm so moved by it. And I still am. Every time I turn on, I go, they're just babies. And they had the One Thing conference between Christmas and New Year's. 4 days in Kansas City. They called them from all over the world. I thought, well, man, 1,000 kids at 20 years old, something would be awesome. 2,000 would be out of this world. Do you know how many registered? 34,000. Turn it on. Yeah. Turn it on. Just turn it up for a second. I am lovely. Now, this goes on 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. It never stops. It never stops. You could tune in on this website at 2 in the morning and they'd be doing that. You can get it at 6 o'clock in the morning and they'd be doing that. And I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, where did you come from? How did you come? How did you get? Where? Look at this. What are you, 18? Look at her. She's a baby. And you know what? They travel from all over the world. And they go to this particular school and they teach them how to pray and they teach them how to worship. You know what the average church, you know how to decrease your attendance? Call a prayer meeting. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. We don't really like to pray, but they come from all over the world to pray. There's something that God is doing in this hour that you and I need to get up under. I need to get up under. God, let me get under it. Because I know when I get under it, you're going to pour out your spirit. And that's what Northeastern Ohio needs. That's why you and I have got to get in the pool. You and I have got to start the stirring. You and I can't let go of this. We've got to know that God is raising up a generation. You can take it down. And so Nathaniel is called by God. And he gets up under the fig tree. What happened to Adam and Eve, folks? God used to come in the coolness of the day. He said, Adam, let's walk together. One day God shows up and Adam's not there. He's at the mall shopping. It's not that funny. It's almost true. He's on his boat. I'm not saying it's not wrong to go shopping. I shop. I go on a boat when somebody gives me a ride. Yay! I love that stuff. But listen, where are you, Adam? God wasn't asking Adam because he didn't know where he was. He was asking Adam because Adam didn't know where he was. And what does the Bible say? As soon as he sinned, what did he do? He went to the what? Fig tree. He went to his purpose. He went to his destiny. And he plucked some leaves. And he sewed himself a covering. He took his purpose and destiny of which he was to submit to. And he was making it work for his behalf. You know, it's the old bless me church mentality. Give me a prophet to tell me I'm going to get a gold ring and a diamond and my name is going to be in lights and God's pleased with me. It's the whole fig tree, sew it on stuff. And God said, I don't want you to put it on. I want you to get under it. Where are you? Where are you? What do you want? See, if you came in here this morning with fig dress on, What you want is not him. What you want is your needs met. But if you're under the fig tree, what you want is him. Because it don't have to blossom. There don't have to be no cattle in the field. There don't have to be no olive press. There don't have to be nothing on the outside. All I need is him. And God's raising up a people that say, all I want is Jesus. And if I can't have Jesus, then I can't make it. I can't go to church where there ain't no Jesus. Isn't. I'm sorry. Isn't. Every once in a while I go to preaching. So where are you staying? Where are you staying, God? The disciples say, look, this isn't a one-time encounter. This isn't just a prayer line. I want to know where you live. It's the heart of those that are passionately pursuing him today. It's not, God, can I just get blessed? I want to know where you live. Where are you staying, Jesus? Because wherever you're staying, that's where I'm going. Wherever you're dwelling, that's where I'm going to dwell. I'm in pursuit with my passion over the presence of a living God. When I first met Dr. Lester Sumrall, some of you know of him, a lot of you don't. The great general of the faith. He's gone on to heaven. But I was so fearful of him. He commands so much respect. He's an apostle. He's traveled the world, almost every nation, probably every nation in the world. Written over almost 150, 200 books. Flies around in a jet airplane every day. Preaches somewhere in the world and comes back and preaches in his church. And invited him to camp meeting. And he said, yes. I said, really? You're going to come to my camp meeting? So we got a limousine to pick him up. I mean, we were going first class. I was so nervous. Tina remembers that day. I was down below at baggage claim, thought he was coming in there. He was up at the top. I didn't find him. I'm running at the top. They're coming down the bottom looking for me. Finally, I find him. I'm sweating, perspiring. We get in the limousine. I sit down. You know, they have that long couch on the side. And he goes like this. He's sitting there and he goes like this. I'm like, what does that mean? It means come sit here. I'm a bit uncomfortable with that because I don't really know you. And I don't know that I want to, you know, my body touch your body. Could you, like, move over? I sit down, he puts his hand on my knee, and he goes, so, what is God doing in your ministry? I went, blah, 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 blah. Great. He's really doing, where you been ministering? I said, well, I just got back from Russia. I thought, ding, stars, you know, I've been on a missions trip. This is awesome. He's going to think I'm so cool. And he says, I just got back from Russia. He said, you ever hear of Rod Parsley? He said, he went with me. We preached and there were thousands saved. How many got saved when you went to Russia? I went, we're almost here now. From that day forward, every time we went to South Bend, every time we were around him, I don't care where it was, we came into an audience, it could be 3,000, 5,000 people, the ushers would find us. They wore blue coats with red ties. It was the blood of Jesus. The ushers always had the blood of Jesus, the red tie, with a dove, Holy Spirit. It's old-fashioned Pentecost, you don't know anything about that, but that's what they did. And he'd come up to me and the usher would say, excuse me, Dr. Sumrall wants you to come up and sit next to him. I'm like, now? In front of all these people? So Tina and I would get our stuff, and we were walking in front of everybody and sitting down, and you just see all these eyes of people going, who is he? Why is he getting to sit next to Dr. Sumrall? Didn't matter. No matter where we were, I never went to sit there. I never assumed that was my place. But every time I was there and he saw me, he would beckon me and pat the couch. And it made me nervous because he looked into your soul. Like, I know what you're thinking. And did you sin last night? No, Dr. Sumrall, I've been praying all night. I've been seeking God. I mean, it was that kind of a fearful experience. I've got two incredible scriptures for you, and I'm not going to preach much longer, but... Oh, it's early. I could preach a little longer. But this is the Passion Translation. If you haven't got one yet, you want to get it. It's back ordered. You may not be able to get the Psalms right away, but I encourage you to get it. I want to look at Psalm 27, and I want to help you understand where Jesus is calling you and me. Psalm 27, listen to this, verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4, Passion Translation says this: "There's one thing I want from God. The thing I seek above all else, I want the privilege of living with Him every moment in His house, finding the sweet loveliness of His face, filled with awe, delighting in His glory and grace. I want to live my life so close to Him." We went to visit Doctor for Christmas one year, and my family and I, and we brought him a present for Christmas. We went to the church, and they said, "Well, he's home. Go to his house." I said, I can't go to his house. Are you kidding? No. He wants you to go to the house. Remember that day, Tina? We walked up to the door. We knocked on the door. I said, "God, I don't know why I'm here. This is really, really weird." And he opens the door, and he grunts. I said, "Dr. Summerall, Merry Christmas. Family and I are here, and we just wanted to give you a gift." "Right, Tina?" He says, "Come in." "In your house?" Louis was probably 8 years old at the time. So we walk in the door, and he begins giving me a tour. We go to the kitchen, and he said, "This is where I write my books from 3 to 5 every morning. I get up at 3 a.m. and I write for 2 hours. This is right here, right at that chair." I said, "Oh, that's cool." I said, "I don't ever get up at 3. Takes us through the living room, and he's pointed all these artifacts. There's like skins of animals and gifts from tribes and honors from nations. He said, "I got this when I was in Yugoslavia, and I got this when I was in Sudan, and this king gave me this, and it's a memento of this trip." And I'm like, "Really? Wow." And then he said, "Do you want to see my bedroom?" And I said, "No." Do you remember he took us in his bedroom? You had never been in there. I was in his bedroom. He said, "Come on in." And then we walked into his bedroom, and it's like I walked into the very presence of God. I walked in there, and I said, "God, this is amazing." And I didn't get it back then, Brother Ron, but I get it now. It's God the Father saying, "You want to come into my bedroom? Can I show you where I write my secrets and put them on angels' wings? Would you like to see that? Do you want to come in and let me show you the trophies of my victories of the nations of which I've redeemed by my precious blood, Son's blood? Would you like to see? Would you like to feel it? Would you like to come in there?" And that's what the psalmist is saying. And then in chapter 25 and verse 14, listen to this, church. This is really amazing. Intimate friendship with the Lord means sitting near Him. I've learned something. When people stay away from you, that means they're not intimate with you. You know, you walk down the aisle of Kmart, they go down the other aisle. You come in one door of the church, they go out the other. But when somebody is intimate with you, they want to sit next to you. And the Bible says that intimate friendship with the Lord means sitting near Him. May I sit next to you, Bill? That means not here, because I'm comfortable here, because you're not too close. But if I go here, like we're right next to each other, but if I lean in. Come on now. Look at your neighbor and say, I may not know you, but I'm about to lean. I really don't know you, but I'm about to touch you. Watch this. This is incredible. Do you have the scripture? No, you don't have the scripture. I think I added these on. It's a place reserved only for his lovers. It's a place reserved only for his lovers. They receive the revelation secrets of his promises. Where? On the couch. On the couch. And the word secret in the Hebrew literally can be translated couch. It is in the Hebrew couch. So God's saying, would you get intimate with me? Would you come under your purpose and destiny? Would you sit next to me and let me disclose to you my kingdom secrets? Church, that's the call and cry of God. But you've got to be under the fig tree. You can't be walking around wearing it. Do you know what I mean by that? Huh? We want God to do something. We want God to fix something. God, I don't care if you don't fix another thing in my life. Just don't make me sit on the other chair. I don't ever want to sit on the other side of the room. I want to sit next to you. I don't care if there's 7 seats open. I want your seat. And he's here this morning. If you can hear him, he's here. He's going, come sit here. Come sit here. Come sit here. John 1:51. And this is so powerful, church. I got to close with this, though. But John 1:51, it's so profound. Jesus said to Nathanael, he said, you think that's amazing that I see you under a fig tree? Oh, Nathanael, if you only knew, you will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, and the heavens opened up. Nathanael, because you're in your right place, because you're submitted to purpose and destiny for a generation in this time, you're going to see heaven opened. Heaven's not going to open, church, just because you have a good song about open heavens. It doesn't work like that. It opens because you're in the right place. You're submitted to your purpose and destiny for this time. You've got it. I've committed my life to becoming an end time revivalist in this hour, in this generation. God, Psalm 71 verse 18, you gave me that word. In my old age, do not abandon me. But allow me to show the power of God to this generation. And Jesus says he is the stairway to heaven. Jimmy Page, you had it wrong, dude. You had the desire, but you didn't have the means. You didn't have the revelation. It's all in Jesus. Here's the answer to the fulfillment of the position Nathanael had assumed under the fig tree. See, this is the cool thing. This is the cool part. It just makes me, I just get so broken when I think about it. I don't have to do anything. I just have to get in the right position. I just need to get under my purpose and destiny. God, I know my purpose. I know my destiny. That's why I want all of you to come to the Sozo training, because there's so many of us here today that can't embrace our purpose and can't embrace our destiny because you don't even like you. You live in remorse. You live in regret. You live in hate. You live in unforgiveness. You haven't reconciled with the father that abandoned you or the mother that abused you. And it's difficult to relate to a heavenly father. And he looks like this stoic Abraham Lincoln on some marble slab ready to just issue a decree against you, and that's not your father. Your father is likened unto the one who came to the edge of the highway every day looking for his prodigal son. See, it's so difficult for you and me to understand our father until we can become sons. You're not a servant. You're a son with the rights and privileges of sonship. That's why we need to get this healing. That's why the body of Christ in Cleveland has been so under a cloud. It's time to disperse it and allow the glory of God to be manifested in this place. It's time for us to get in the pool and cause a whirlpool to go. It's going to mean adjustments. It's going to mean some disconnections. So Jesus is making this reference, and he's saying it correlates to Genesis 28. Remember, Jacob is there. He's a patriarch. He's a covenant man. At the end of the encounter that Jacob has with an open heaven and the angels descending and ascending upon the ladder, which foretold of Jesus being that ladder, which Nathanael is hearing the revelation, and you and I have the benefit of now. We know so much, don't we? And Jacob said, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. This is the place of God, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know it. This was a visitation. This was an open heaven, and I didn't see it. I didn't know it. I didn't feel it. I wasn't introduced to it. All I did was go to church. I gave my money. I sang some songs. I served in the local church. I was trying to be a good citizen, but I didn't even know it. I didn't know that this was the very open heaven of God. Come and see. And the revelation that's so cool there. I thank you, Lord, for this revelation, Father. I thank you for this revelation, the servant of God that saw this. And you notice it says twice in the scripture that the angels ascended and descended. Isn't that interesting that ascended? In other words, they went from earth, right? Think of a ladder, heaven, earth, angels ascending and descending. It says in Nathanael chapter 1, verse 51, and also Genesis 28, verses 11 through 16. Angels what? Ascending and descending. Say with me again. Angels what?
Ascending
and
descending.
Oh, you're going to let me wipe my nose? Is that for me? Thank you. I'm probably making you all grossed out, aren't I? Sorry. You say, would you please wipe that snot already? Thank you, Rich. Okay, I feel better now. It's interesting because here's what God was saying, simply this. He was saying, if you'll get under your purpose and your destiny, if you'll get submitted to your purpose and destiny, if you'll understand that my provision is there for you, my presence has opened up heaven for you, then you can command angels. Now watch this. I really believe and am persuaded that those angels were leaving earth going into heaven for a purpose. And that's yours. And a destiny. And that's yours. In other words, the angels were going on the command of the people of God who are in the right position, submitted to their purpose and destiny, to go into heaven's courts to get everything that you and I need to bring to pass down on the earth. His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This is so powerful for you and me today. But he's not going to do it. It's not going to be initiated if we don't get in the right place in God. Submitted to his purpose and his destiny. So Father, right now we thank you, Lord, for this great morning, the gathering of the lovers of God. What wonderful lovers of God who hunger and thirst to sit at your feet, Father, that are here today because they understand the time that they're in. Oh, God. And I want you to close your eyes with me. Put my tune on, please, if you will. That tune that I got, I think you have it there. You all don't have to come up. Worship leaders, just sit there. It's fine. I want you to just posture yourself before the presence of God and ask the Holy Spirit, Father, where do I need to disconnect? Where do I need to disconnect in my life that's draining me, that's stealing away my focus?
I believe in a kingdom that's not of this world.
Yes, I believe it, Father.
I believe in a king. It's not a world. I believe in a king. It's not a world.
You just talk to the Holy Spirit.
I believe in a king. It's not of this world. This kingdom is come. This kingdom is come. This kingdom. Much more real than what we know. I believe in a way that's much more real than what we know.
Make that your prayer today.
I believe in a way that's much more real than what we know.
Our thinking, Father.
I believe in a way it's much more real than what we know.
Change is going to change us.
This kingdom is come. inside of you and me.
Yes, God.
I believe in a war that is raging inside of you and me. God, you've been piercing through this reality.
That down just a little bit. I want to give opportunity. We're going to stand in just a minute. The Holy Spirit is speaking to some people, no doubt, deeply in your heart. And, you know, I'm just a spokesman for God. I got nothing going on except my passion for Jesus. And it's not because I preached it, but this message has profoundly impacted you. And you need to make a move under the fig tree. You need to reposition yourself. Amen. We could do that this morning. Just take a few minutes to do that. So we're going to stand. I'm going to have you do that right now. Just keep the music playing, but softly behind us. Come on, everybody stand up. And you need to make that move. You say, you know what? I just need to move passionately towards God. I need to get under my purpose and destiny. I need to disconnect from some stuff. I just need to really seek after Him like I've never done before. I need to renew my passion. I want to go further. I want to go deeper than what I've gone. God, this is just my day for me to grab hold of you and not let go, because I believe that there's a king that's going to reign on the earth. And I want to be a part of the whirlpool, God. I just want to jump in. I just want to make it. I just want to make this happen. I just want to be part of it, Father. And if that's you today, I'm just going to turn that up just a little bit. We're just going to open up this altar. We're going to let you come and just seek the face of God. Come on, just right now, wherever you are, just get a place, pray. Seek the Lord. Maybe there at your seat, you want to do that, you can kneel. Maybe you want to stand. Maybe you want to sit. But come on, this is a call of God to come under submission to the purpose and the destiny of God. And that God is speaking to you. And you will become this end time voice in this hour. You will become this end time voice in this prophetic moment. Because the Holy Ghost has got His hand on you. God's finger is on your life, and you'll never be the same from this day forward. This is January 12, 2014. It is the beginning of a new season. It's the beginning of a new year. It's the beginning of a new call, a new understanding of what the kingdom is all about, what church is all about, what your call and your life is all about. And you are adjusting. You are going to make this adjustment. Philip came today and told you something, and you're hungry to find out for yourself. Come and see has rung in your heart. You're ready to begin to experience God on a new level, on a deeper level. You're ready to just say, God, whatever it takes, I'm there, I'm in, I'm going to pursue. I'm going to pursue God with great passion, and I'm just hungry for you, Father. I'm just hungry for you, God. And I thank you that the kingdom of God has come to this earth, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The rest of us, why don't we just begin to pray? Father, send a move of God, a revival in this region. Father, let Cleveland, Ohio become the epicenter of a genuine quaking and a shaking, oh God, on this earth. Father, we thank you that you're raising up 20-somethings that are going to do a mighty thing, a mighty, powerful move of God in this hour. It's going to be amazing, amazing what you're going to do in their lives. God, call them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I thank you, God, that Adam and Jenna are leading this charge in this region, Father, for us. In this area, we're covenanting with them. We believe, God, it's going to be amazing of what you're going to do. So, God, stir the hearts now, Lord. Stir the hearts, God, and just raise up, Father God, just a voice, a generation voice that doesn't look anything like the past. Thank you, Lord. That doesn't look anything like the past. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And it's sort of illustrated this way. Come on up, Adam. It's sort of illustrated this way. You keep praying. My grandson Jeremiah was 19 years of age. And I gave him a birthday card and I wrote in cursive. You know what cursive is. He opened the card and he said, Papa, I almost can't read cursive. And I said, why can't you read cursive? Because they don't teach it anymore. You understand? He was opening the card and struggled writing, reading what I wrote, because it's a new generation that doesn't read. They don't read the same way of when it was written in traditional church. They are now seeing a completely different picture of the manifest presence of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? God is speaking to us. It is time for us to embrace this present move of God. And if you believe it, come on, lift up your hands. Shout hallelujah. Come on, bless the Lord. Glorify Jesus this morning in this place. Hallelujah.
God is doing some. He's been doing it for a while, but this is a generation that just wants to just grab it and just take it. Like, I want it, just pulling it down. There's a youth ministry that I was speaking at just a little while ago, and I just happened to give a prophetic word to one of the students. They're like, oh! And then I grabbed my leg, and they're like not literally grabbed my leg, but they were like, we are not going to let you go until you give us a prophetic word. I'm like, I don't know if it works that way. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I was very intimidated. They're like, I want one. They're like, oh, like, I want one. I want one. I want one. Like, I'm like, you could do it. And then one person's like prophesying, giving prophetic words to another one, and it was accurate. Like, God is doing some amazing things in this place. Amazing things. I have a couple announcements before I let you guys go. Number one thing is that we have a great, phenomenal guest speaker that is actually coming to the church tonight at 6 o'clock, and also on Wednesday at this particular location at 7 o'clock. His name is Monday Martin. He has been on, he was just recently on the 700 Club. He's flying out to Germany in the next few weeks. He's been to Israel 18 times. He's all over the place, everywhere he goes. He's out on the streets. He's ministering to people. He's just, he's awesome. Great guy. I'm really, really excited to bring him out. It's very difficult to bring him out, but he's a friend of mine, so he's coming out tonight in Lorain in the Building 4, the Building 4 campus. Definitely don't miss it. He's also here Wednesday. He's going to be doing prophetic training. Last night, I was out with him at a church that he was speaking at. A woman, she had some leg problems, knee problems. She got healed of her knee problems, and like she's jumping up and down. She's like 80 years old. She's all excited. And then he's like, all right, what I want you to do is I want you to pray for that guy. And then she goes over and she's praying for that guy, and he gets healed. And just an amazing, awesome time. So come out. He's very, very interested in having us grow in our prophetic gifting. And so he's like, just like laying hands on people. So don't miss it tonight in Lorain at 6 o'clock. If you can't make it to that night, come out Wednesday. It's going to be an awesome time. One other thing. Starting next month in February, we are wanting to see the young adults of CNC coming together and to see them like have a place and for us to be able to learn and grow in our prophetic gifting and to move forward. So we're going to be moving and doing that, starting out in Building 4 in Lorain. We're starting out over there. I'm really feeling God's moving. And it's something that's actually not on our not on our announcement list. I just want to let you know. Lord's been really moving tremendously in the young adult area of Cleveland. Some of you know that that I do young adults, not just here, but a lot of different other places around Cleveland. And we have a large organization called Pulse that is bringing $80,000 to Cleveland this April to do an event to reach young adults in this area. Because there's a, yeah. Because there's a hunger in this area, a hunger. There's a hunger growing. It's because of you guys placing seeds of many, many years, placing seeds into our lives. And I'm telling you, it is insanely amazing what God is doing in this city. And so get ready, get excited, come out tonight. Just get a touch of the Lord, get trained up, get set free, get sent out. And I'm really excited about it. So God bless you guys. See you there tonight, 6 o'clock, Building 4, Lorain campus. God bless.